Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
That's that. We're going to get into the Word. Are you guys ready for the Word?
Yeah!
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a good God you are. We thank you because you are compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. We can put our trust in you. We thank you for already what you've done today through worship, through Pastor's Word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're showing us through the lives of our young people. And now, Lord, we want to come with open ears, open eyes, open hearts to hear, to receive your Word, which has the power to save. We thank you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our series with the Bible Engagement Project, which is our church-wide discipleship, we've been talking about the importance of receiving God's mercy, and then last week, giving out God's mercy, right, through forgiveness and being merciful towards others. And we're going to build on that today. I want to talk about the compassion part of the Father and how he has compassion for the broken. Because when it comes to understanding mercy, it's helpful to understand the depth of brokenness and sin that we are all born into. Everyone goes through something. Some people go through a lot of something. I don't know what hand you've been dealt in your life, but God is compassionate to all. Whether you've had some trial or a lot of trial, whether you've been in a trial and had victory or you're still battling, waiting for breakthrough. I want you to know today, and Annie opened with this scripture that I wanted to put in but didn't have time, so Holy Spirit, go, that he is the God of all compassion and comfort who comforts us in our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort others. And so when we understand the fact that every single one of us, we need the healing touch that God offers to us through Jesus Christ, it allows us to open up our hearts to receive the healing that Jesus died to give us, as well as to extend the mercy and the patience and the understanding and the gentleness so others can also journey into healing, so that we can progress from one level to another level of wholeness and healing. And as I was praying, I was brought to this story that I'm going to start with, and I'll probably come back to at the end. But in Mark chapter 1, this is a story where Jesus shows us the Father's heart. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. 'If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean,' he said." Notice verse 41. "Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him." He says, "I am willing. Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way. This story gives us so much rich layers into understanding the heart of the Father who calls himself the God of compassion and comfort. This leper understands what it is to be outcasted. Because of his disease, it was believed in his culture that he had leprosy because of his sin. It was a curse from sin or his parents' sins. So he was condemned. He was judged. He was forced to be outside the city because it was contagious. This man probably had not been touched for a very long time. And he had sat in his pain, and he had sat in his loneliness, and he had sat in his place all by himself without human touch. And he comes to Jesus, he says, "If you're willing, heal me." He knew that Jesus could heal him. Notice he had faith. He said, "If you are willing, I know you can heal me." The leper approached Jesus with faith that Jesus could heal his leprosy. But he also approached with doubt. He said, "If you're willing." There was a part of him that just couldn't believe that Jesus would actually want to heal him. And when I read the story, I see myself in these pages. I see brothers and sisters who've been born again, who believe in Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, who stay in their brokenness and in their issues and their baggage from their trauma and the things that have happened in life. We know He can heal, but we're not so sure that He wants to. And so we say, I don't know. I know You can heal. I don't know. Maybe I just need to tough it out. Maybe I just need to pray more. Maybe I just need to get busy in the church. Maybe I just got to work harder, try harder. And yet the answer is, come to Jesus. Now look at the events. If we could put that scripture back up. Look at the events. He comes to Jesus. He says, if You're willing, I know You could heal me. What's the first thing that Jesus does? He's moved with compassion. He's not annoyed. He's not like, oh, you got leprosy. Oh, ooh. What'd you do? Why did you got it? What's up with you? What's wrong with you? He didn't start asking questions about, well, what did you do? Isn't that sometimes how we are with people? They start to open up to us. We're like, well, what did you do? Like, instead of having compassion, we start to try to fix a problem. Before Jesus even acted, He was moved with compassion. Amen. Now, compassion's not just feeling sorry for someone. Compassion means I deeply empathize with you, and it makes me want to do something to alleviate your suffering. See, compassion isn't just, oh, bless you, my brother, I'll pray for you. Come on, church people. Oh, you're going through some? Oh, bless your heart. I'll be praying for you. No, Jesus was so moved with compassion that He acted. And what was the first thing He did? Now, He touched him before He healed him. Don't miss this. It's so important. Don't miss this. He touched him and He looks him in the eyes and He says, I am willing. What is Jesus doing? Before He addresses what the leper sees as his immediate need, I got a skin issue, I've got an infectious disease, I need healing. Jesus sees beyond the outward issue, and He sees into the heart of this man, and He touches him. Why? Because this man hadn't been touched by a human in who knows how long. So His first impulse, moved with compassion, was to reach out and touch him. That's not just an AT&T slogan. It is a Jesus action. He looked at him. He touches him. I don't know what that man must have felt in that moment. Can you just open up your holy imagination this morning? He hasn't been touched in how long? He's been sitting by himself. He's been an outcast. He's had hours and hours and hours to think, why, God, haven't You healed me yet? God, where are You? God, what happened? God, why me? Is it that sometimes we read this scripture so sterile and we miss the nuances of life? And when I look at this man and what he must have gone through, I see how it applies to us today. Because some of us do that. We just sit in our car or at home and we're just like, God, why me? God, I feel so alone. God, where are You? God, how come You haven't helped me yet? God, where are You? I don't even know if You care. So he comes knowing Jesus can heal, but he's not sure that he wants to. So Jesus reaches out and He touches him full of leprosy. He wasn't turned off by this man's brokenness. He wasn't turned away by this man's disease. He was moved with compassion, so He makes connection. And when He makes connection, He begins to minister to the man's soul and his spirit before ever addressing the body. Church, when we are to be like Jesus, we need to stop just focusing on the outward of people and what they're going through or in your own life, and we need to be willing to make connection. As scary as it might be, Jesus was not turned off by this man's brokenness. And I'm here to tell you, whatever brokenness you're dealing with, whatever struggles you have, whatever trials you're going through, Jesus is not turned off by them. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if you come to Him, He is ready because he is moved with compassion when his hurting kids come to him. He is not like, oh, here we go again. You again? Same issue? You again? Come on, people. He's not turned off because it's you again. He doesn't turn his head, but ugh. Go and serve in kids' church for 6 months and come see me. We think like that. We act like that. But that is not the model that Jesus gave us, which illustrates the heart of the Father. Yes. He was not turned off by the brokenness, the sin, the dirtiness. He touched him. He made connection with him. He looked him in the eyes and he addressed the second thing. I am willing. He told him, he could, come on, journey with me. Jesus had been known to speak a word and somebody far away got healed. Jesus didn't need to touch him. Jesus could have been like, 6 feet, you're healed. Bye-bye. He didn't do that. He got up close and he touched him. He could have just said a word, but he touched him. And he looks him in the eyes and he says, I am willing. I want you. I've got you. I'm here with you. I feel for you. I love you. You got to hear more than just the three words, I am willing. Some of you here today, you need to hear that. These are the three words you need to hear with its nuanced layers. You need to hear Jesus come up and touch you right now and say, I am willing. I'm here for you in your brokenness. I'm here for you in your trauma. I'm here for you in your pain. I'm here for you in the stuff that you've been through. That's why Jesus came and took on flesh. Gave his life on the cross so that he could heal us. So he's moved with compassion. You got to understand that wording is it's stronger in the original language. He's moved with compassion. Have you ever seen someone and you're so moved with compassion you just go and hug them whether they want to or not? Come on, parents, you've seen it sometimes. It's with your kids. It's interesting to me. We talked about why. I think God creating families was just so genius. Because in the institution of marriage and families with kids, he enables us to begin to taste a bit of what his heart is. The unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He begins to allow us to sense a bit of how he feels about you and us as his kids. You and us. Sorry, I heard what I said and it just sounded funny. You and me, all of us in this room. And if we don't turn away from our kids in their times of needs, how much more? The good Father is not turned off, disappointed, frustrated, irritated, fed up with you. That's not who he is. That might be how your parents were growing up, but that's not who God is. That might be how you feel about yourself, but that's not who God is. So Jesus is moved with compassion. He reaches out. He touches the man while the man is still a leper. Kind of makes me think of Romans 5:8. I don't got this slide, but here it is. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. What? So he sent Jesus to die while we're still sinners. You know why I love that so much? Because that means, as Jaleesa said in worship today, you come as you are. He's not saying like, okay, go get your act together and then come back. That's not Jesus. That's not the Father. You come as you are. Messed up, screwed up, broken up, it don't matter. You come as you are. And if you think, well, this message ain't for me because I'm not that bad. Yo, you need some blinders kicked off. Because we all need the healing touch of Jesus. We're all broken and in a process of healing and restoration. He touches him and he says, I
am willing, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy goes away. Now, here's the challenge for you and me. Our stuff don't instantly go away very often. Like, we read this and we're like, that's not my experience, God. I feel like I've been going around the mountain all the time. We're like the Israelites. We're wandering the wilderness 40 years now, God. Like, this was instant. And you know what? Come on, Americans. We love instant. We love our 5G internet. Some of us were alive when you had to go do dishes for half an hour before you even connected. And now we're mad if it doesn't pop up right away. Stupid phone, internet's not working. You know, if the DoorDash delivery guy takes longer, I mean, okay, let's just leave it. We like instant gratification. And so sometimes we read a scripture like this, and his leprosy instantly disappeared, and our struggle is still here, and we're like, forget it, he doesn't care. And we begin to project what we see onto God. In other words, I'm saying, God, I know better than you. God, I think I know the solution, and you're on the wrong timetable. I'm God, you're not. You all of a sudden swap places with God, whether you realize it or not. But when you submit to the process of healing, when you submit to the timing of God, when you submit to what he knows that you don't, even though it doesn't happen instantly, you can persevere in faith because you know he's good. He's a father of compassion and all comfort. In Exodus 34, I read this last couple weeks ago, but it says, the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh! The God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. Now, some of us look at this scripture, we're like, this can feel a little paradoxical, a little contrasting, unless you dig in and understand that God has unlimited mercy that forgives those who come to him for forgiveness. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are given the gift of forgiveness, and all our sins are wiped away. All our sins are removed from the east to the west. But our point, our job is to put our faith in God, to come to Jesus full of our leprosy, which represents sin, full of our issues, full of our brokenness, full of our trauma and our pain. And we come to God just as we are and say, I know you can heal me. And when we come, he just washes us clean. He forgives sin and iniquity. And yet there are consequences that affect generations. And one of the things you have to understand is because it's almost like if you take this scripture and you reverse it, God is saying because sin affects multiple generations, because sin is not just your sin that affects you, your sin affects your kids, your grandkids. How many of us have been affected by other people's sins? Because Jesus understands, God understands that sin is not just a one person impact, it is a multi-generational impact. And because there are things that happen, generational strongholds, generational curses, right? If the dad's the alcoholic, the son becomes the alcoholic. We see it in gangs. We see it in addictions. We see it in anger issues. We see it in multiple problems. But God. But God, who can just completely come and break those generational sins and issues and bring healing to your children so that your kids don't have to face what you went through, so that your grandkids can be free from the things that have held you captive in your family. You can stand on the bloodline of Jesus and say, it stops here. This is the power of a God who is full of compassion and merciful. Why? Because when he's moved with compassion, God can't help but act to help you in your time of need. He says, I am full of unfailing love. That means his love never gives up, never runs out. He says, I'm faithful. Well, come on, guys. He says, I will never leave you. nor forsake you. Another one says abandon you. That means even when you and I stumble again, he's right there with you. The Bible says, though the righteous stumble seven times, God picks them up. Because we need it. He's a God of compassion who understands our broken situation. He understands the effect of sin. He understands the reach of sin. He understands all of these things. And therefore, he sent Jesus to come and make a way for us to experience healing. And let's look at that. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to heal our brokenness. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to the synagogue after he's been baptized and tempted. This is what it says starting in verse 17. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. The blind will see. The oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come. Don't stop there. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all eyes looked at him intently. Then he began to speak, and he said, the scripture you have heard has been fulfilled this very day. If you think Jesus came just to give you a golden ticket into heaven, you have completely missed the point. Christianity is not about just getting to heaven for eternity. Christianity is about experiencing the God who defines himself as compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love, unfailing love and faithfulness. When we encounter and we know God this way, then we are more quickly to say, I surrender to you. Then we're more quickly to say, I trust your plan, even though it doesn't make any sense to me. Because you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And you begin to see that he saved you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So Jesus said, I came not just to preach the good news, which is forgiveness of sins, but he said, I also came to set some people free. You do not need to stay bound in whatever keeps you captive. Because whom the Lord sets free, come on. If he sets you free, you are free indeed. And you've got to hold on to that truth, even if you stumble again. And when you stumble again, you say, oh, I'm just stuck. I'm going to stay stuck. No, you say, whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to keep journeying on into the presence of Jesus, who has the power to save, heal, and deliver. Don't let yourself just sit and be stuck. Because that leper could have just stayed outside. He could have just stayed outside and been like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of messed up. Obviously, somebody did something bad. I don't deserve to go be where Jesus is. I mean, what if I go and what if the people look at me weird? Like, what if they judge me? Sound like some of us who don't want to go to church? What if I go and they all look at me weird? What if they judge me? What if they think bad about me? What if I'm honest about the things I'm going through and they reject me? You don't think this man went through all of those things? And yet there was something in him that recognized that Jesus could set him free, that he broke through all the excuses, all the reasons, all the rationale, and he got himself up and he went into the presence of Jesus. Some of you have been sitting alone, telling yourself, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it. Obviously, I've screwed up too much, and you've convinced yourself just to stay where you're at. But God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He says, I came to not just preach good news, which is salvation. He says, but I came to set people free. And I came to open blind eyes. And I came to release the oppressed. I like how the Amplified says it about the oppressed. The Amplified talks about being downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy. He says, I came not just to get you a golden ticket into heaven. I came to radically heal and restore and make you whole and holy. Amen. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. He came to set you free from whatever struggle you have. He came to set you free from whatever addiction you have. He came to set you free from generational issues. Just because it happened to those before you doesn't mean it has to keep happening with you. He came to give sight to the blind so that you could see God, know truth, and be set free from truth. He came to open up and take off the oppression, the heaviness, the weariness, the darkness. And he says to release and to declare that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I did a little digging into that word favor, and it means the kindness of God, the acceptance of God, the blessings of God. I am here today to declare to you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to set you free, to give you sight, to release your oppression, and to give you the favor of God in your life. Don't stay where you are. Jesus came not just to forgive your sins, but he wants to heal you and make you whole. I want to take you to Isaiah 53. Come on, are you with me this morning? Isaiah 53. Whoo. Jesus has the ability to change everything. It's not just a slogan on the wall. It's something I know and I believe. But he will only change that which you come to him for. And a lot of us don't experience all that God wants for you and I to have through Jesus because we don't come to him. Whether we're afraid, ashamed, embarrassed, come to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, it's okay. Come to Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, this is a prophecy about Jesus. It says that it was our weaknesses he carried. Come on, in our American culture, we don't like to be weak. We hide our weakness. We try to cover it up. And we do it in the church, but we do it with the churchy thing. How you doing? Praise God, I'm blessed. Blessed. Highly favored. All true, and yet you know you are struggling and you could use some help, but you're blessed. And so you don't want to admit, I need help. But it's the same issue over and over again. You need help, ask for help. It's why Jesus created the church. It's why he puts you in a house where you can come as you are and say, yo, I need some help. I need prayer. I need support. I need help. Because Jesus says, I got a body. Guess what? You are the body. And you know what? He comes to help us with his body. Not just his body on the cross, but us, the body of Christ, to help each other because we are anointed by the same Spirit. Yes. To preach good news. What? To help bring captives into liberty. To help relieve the oppressed. Come on. To help bring sight to the blind. Right. Same Holy Spirit on Jesus is the same Holy Spirit in you. Amen. You're not limited. Hallelujah. It was our weakness he carried. In other words, look, you might think you fooled everybody else, but he knows you. He knows your areas of need. He knows your weaknesses. So why we try to hide it from him? He carried our weaknesses. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Notice, he says, I came to proclaim freedom for the oppressed. That's a weighing down. Why? Because when he came, he took everything that weighs us down on him so that we don't have to be weighed down. Wow, that's so good.
We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Jesus allowed himself to be broken so that we who are broken would be made whole. Hallelujah. He takes the bread at Passover and he breaks it and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Isn't that amazing, church? Think about this. Even if you're in this room, you're not sure you know what to think about God, I'm here to tell you that he loves you so much that his own son came down to experience our brokenness so that he could bring healing and wholeness into our lives. Don't stay in your sin and your brokenness, because I'm going to say it again. Jesus became broken so that you can be made completely whole. This is what Jesus wants for you to have. Church, look, I'm not here just to be like, "Oh, praise God, we have people, click, click, check the churchy box." I'm here to help you experience the reality of a God who can do the impossible, God who turns lives around, a God who heals the broken and sets free the captive. And he looks at you, and you might be wondering whether or not you deserve it. And he says, "I'm just here. I'm ready. I'm willing. Just come. Just come. Because I took on your weakness, your sin, your suffering, everything that weighed you down. I took it so that you could be healed and made whole." I looked at this Hebrew word heal, and I'm not going to try to pronounce, but I'll try. Rafua shelahama. It does. I'm not Jewish, okay? It does not just mean to be well physically, right? Physical healing from head to foot. But in the more important sense, it means to be well, to be sound, to be entire, to be whole, to be complete. Amen. And let me just take this to, in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Come on, stay with me, stay with me. Scripture is so good, so powerful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. I'm going to read it from the Message this time, if I can find it. Here we go. It says this: "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it." Come on, say amen, church. Amen means you are partnering your faith with the truth of the word. Notice how it says holy and whole. See, there is a right emphasis to live holy before God. And the journey to live holy for God is found in being made whole by God. See, the more I allow Jesus to deal with my issues, my brokenness, my wrong thinking, my wrong beliefs, the more I surrender to him, the more I give myself to him. Why? Because he's merciful, he's compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. The more I come to him with the right knowledge of who he is, the more he does a deep work in me. And the more he does a deep work in me, then the inside gets changed and the outward begins to look like the inward. Don't get caught up in trying to make the outward look holy and neglect the inward. Inward is where Jesus touches us. He's the God of peace. That's another translation. Who is faithful, who will do it. How? Through Jesus. Come on, say that. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Because in Mark 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard this, he told them, the religious elite, the Pharisees, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus said, look, you might think you're okay, but really you need a healing touch. I came to heal those who know they need my touch. He called himself the great physician. And I'm here to tell you that each and every one of us need to be willing to be his patient. Now, when I worked as a nurse in the hospital, I can tell you that there are people who will follow the instructions to the letter. How many times I got to walk? Four. Done. Like they follow. And there are other people who are like, hey, I don't think so. That's too hard. Which one progresses into a better healing after some kind of surgical procedure? The one who followed the instructions. Are you with me? When you come to Jesus, he knows the right prescription to address your need. You don't need another self-help podcast. You don't need another try harder session. You don't need somebody to come and just bust you up. What you need is to obey what the Holy Spirit has been telling you to do. Obey. And guess what? You keep obeying and you keep obeying until one day you find out I'm really free. Just like last week, we talked about forgiveness. You forgive, but sometimes you see that person and you realize, I got a little more forgiveness I need to work on. And so you obey and you forgive. And when it comes up, you obey and you forgive. And when it comes, until someday you realize, whoa, it's been like 6 weeks and I hadn't even got angry. And I've seen that person a few times. I'm free. Come on. So don't get upset or frustrated if it ain't happening as fast as you want. Stay faithful. Stay obedient. All right, worship team, come up. I got more, but we just don't got time. I want to read this commentary on this scripture, Mark 2:17. It says this, Jesus likens himself to a doctor with the task of healing man's sin. He received his name Jesus because it meant to save people from their sins. The moment we turn from loving the things of this world to banking our hope on God and his promises summed up in Jesus Christ, guess what? Then Jesus takes us just as we are. He takes us into his clinic and he begins to do a healing work of all of our brokenness and sinfulness. But we must entrust ourselves into the loving care of the great physician, confident that he knows. I'm paraphrasing, that he knows what he's doing, that he will transform us into his likeness, that he will make us completely whole and healed. We avoid legalism to the extent that we acknowledge how truly sick we are, and we look away from ourselves, and with complete confidence in the doctor's expertise and desire to heal us, we follow his instructions so that we are made well. Jesus died not just to get you into heaven, but to set you free. Jesus died to make you whole and holy. Jesus died to help you with whatever the things are in this life that you've gone through, but you have to be willing to come to him. I just want to highlight a few of the scriptures where we see how Jesus was moved with compassion. And as we look at this list, I want you to think about your need and where you're at today. I want you to begin to reflect, where am I? What is it, Jesus, that you want to do and touch and address in my own life? Because we see that Jesus was moved with compassion when he fed the hungry crowd. He saw they were hungry, so he fed them. Another time he was walking on his way to go somewhere, and this funeral procession is coming towards him, and a widow is crying, and he realizes her only son had died, and in that culture meant she had no hope. And it says he was moved with compassion and he goes to the tomb, the coffin, and he says, get up. He could have said, oh, my dear sister, I'm sorry for your loss. But he didn't. He raised her son from the dead and restored to her security. He was moved with compassion when two blind men called out to him for healing. He was moved with compassion when all the sick would come. He was so sad because his cousin, John the Baptist, just got beheaded. And the Bible says he was going to a place to go alone. Why? Because he needed to grieve. But then all of a sudden, all this crowd heard where Jesus was, and they came around him, and he was moved with compassion. And instead of saying, leave me alone, I need to grieve, he began to heal them, all of them, the Bible says. And he fed them. We see the importance of understanding the compassion and mercy of God in the parable of the master that Pastor Jaron talked about last week, the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. And I'm here to tell you that the parable of the prodigal son is not about the sons. It's about the father who kept looking and waiting. And the day his child ran to him, he ran to him first. And so today I want to invite you to come to Jesus because he is willing. He wants
to heal you. He longs to make you whole. He longs to forgive you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free. He longs to bring comfort to you. He longs for you to know His peace that passes understanding. He longs for you not to feel hopeless, but to receive His hope today.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.